The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We're going to kick things off with this really interesting survey. It was research carried out in the UK, actually, but it suggested that Generation Z Zoomers, or however you want to describe them, younger people, are the most spiritual group in society. Now, kind of, we can debate spirituality versus religion all you want, but they are the most spiritual group, according to this research. Two-thirds of them calling themselves very or very likely spiritual. One of them is with me, Ciara Lawless, a singer and songwriter, a Gen Zer, as it were, here, speaking on behalf of your entire generation. kind of tell me a little bit about your spiritual journey.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on the wonderful show. I think the kind of, I was talking to actually Wendy earlier about this, but I think that pinnacle moment when I turned six, I witnessed a miracle occur. I think that was the moment for me that I realized there's a higher power, something's taking care of me, and I'm not on my own.
What happened when you were six?
So basically, my dad has a farm, but he also had a quarry as well at the time. And being a little bit mischievous, and I shouldn't have done this, but I was bold, I climbed out through the back, kind of, we had like a fence, but there was also like a hedging. So I weaved my way underneath there. I wanted to create a swing, and I had this hula hoop. I used to love watching High Five. And Mam and Dad were always saying, you can get a swing, Santi's going to get it for you, but you have to have some patience and wait. And of course, I had no patience. So I went out the back garden, followed up through the fields. I grew up in rural Roscommon, so you can imagine it's full of all these winding fields and roads, and went up through the fields anyway. And there was these big, basically, they're like steel gates. They cover in a screening washer that usually washes and crushes rocks and all of that. So I had the hula hoop in one hand, and I looked at the first one. I went, this is not going to be tall enough. I won't get a big swing. So I went to the next one that was big. And I remember just throwing it up over it and hooking it. And next thing, I pulled it right down on top of me.
The gate?
Yeah, the whole thing. And I sliced through my leg. And it was literally only skin keeping my leg together at that point. I broke the tibia, the fibula, and some other bone that's escaping my brain right now. But at the time, I must have been lying for about 20 minutes unconscious. And then I woke up, and from a distance, I could see my granddad, who's passed now. He was wheeling the wheelbarrow, but in the opposite direction, exiting the yard. And I started to call for his name, but he hadn't got his hearing aids in, so he didn't hear me. But he remembers, I remember him distinctively telling me afterwards, he's like, Ciara, I didn't hear you, but something made me turn around. So he turns around and sees me from the distance and comes running over. And he tries to lift it up. Now, you can imagine it takes like machinery to move these into the field to and fro. And he couldn't lift it. And at that moment, he just looked up to the sky and he said, good God, give me strength. And he just lifted it up off me and pulled me out gently. And it was that moment where I went, I was just in awe. And I just had this feeling, I get quite emotional talking about it, but I just had this feeling that something was looking after me and I was being minded. And so from that moment onwards, I just became fascinated by, I suppose I grew up in, as a Catholic. So I became, I was always praying at like 16 when people were going out. I was reading the Bible. That was like, I was just fascinated by belief systems. And then I just started to discover spirituality when I turned 20 during the pandemic. We had no time to kind of, you know, all we had to do was look inward. And at that moment, I started to kind of look at myself, and I was recovering from an eating disorder at that stage as well. And I was looking for answers, and I started to delve into meditation, and I was having these beautiful experiences. And I kind of started to realize that within us all, we have both this light and this dark. And if we can realize that we're co-creating with source all the time. So we have to be willing to acknowledge all those parts of ourselves. And that's the only way you can really fall in love with yourself.
And what was, or what now is your understanding of what caused that miracle when you were 6 years old, as you saw it? I mean, was it the God in the Christian sense, as we all understood it, those of us who kind of grew up in the faith? Was it something else? Was it just a kind of a vague higher power that we can't even comprehend, you know, no matter how long we spent doing it? What is your understanding now of what that was?
For me, that was God.
Okay.
Now, everyone, when I say the word God, depending on people's triggers and their trauma and different things they've gone through in life, that may resonate to people in different ways. Some people may call it a higher power. Some people may call it source. I don't necessarily identify God as male or female in that sense. It's this higher power. But I believe that that is, you know, constantly with us, guiding us. Now, we have free will. So it's up to us whether or not we want to accept that help into our life. But for me, it's to be able to go through my life knowing that there's this higher power that's guiding me from when times when I'm not sure what the right thing is to do, or in times where maybe I'm struggling to love myself and see myself in this world and my place and where I should show up. That's been my guidance. So
Wendy Grace is with us. You mentioned Wendy, the broadcaster and columnist. Wendy, I mean, probably a little much to expect everybody in Gen Z to experience a miracle, to bring them to some level of faith or to reinforce it for them. But there does seem to be this trend. I mean, what do you put it down to? Do you see it yourself?
I'd say it's probably a similar experience to what I had. I was probably kind of got back.
You're not a Gen Z-er.
No, I know. I wish I could cling on. I'm a millennial. Hands up. But not a lot has changed in a sense. I do think a lot of it is about identity, belonging, a search for meaning. What has probably changed since I was in my 20s is there's a lot more pressure, I think, on young people of that age group where, you know, social media, all those sorts of things, like you can see the rates of anxiety, depression, substance abuse, all those things have gone up, you know, more connected than ever before, but more lonely. So I actually think the fact that we have a generation of kind of 20 somethings that probably their parents didn't pass on a faith that maybe like the way my parents would have in some ways, they're actually more open than ever before. They're more curious. And then it becomes more of a, well, similar to what I experienced, more of an intellectual and a spiritual kind of.
So your parents would have kind of passed on a faith, but you still had your own journey kind of back to it in your teens.
Yeah,
Most
people describe my parents quite, they gave me a lot of freedom in my teenage years, and it was kind of up to me if I wanted to go to mass. I didn't want to, and that was grand. And it was kind of like once I was 16, 17, it's up to you. So it wasn't really until I was in college and probably experiencing what a lot of Gen Zers are experiencing now. You're out, you're doing all the things on paper that are meant to make you happy, but you're not. I was in a lifestyle at the time that I was going out with someone really wealthy who on everything had on paper had everything, but the happiness wasn't there.
Yeah.
But for me, it was a kind of intellectual thing first, where I started reading about, you know, I started reading kind of scientists who talked about their faith and the kind of evidence for God and that, and the spiritual kind of came afterwards, if you know what I mean. And, you know, when you look at, I suppose, what do people want out of life? Most people say, well, I want to be happy. That's number one.
Yeah.
Happiness, love, they're the two things. And I think when you've, and loads of kind of younger people that I've interviewed, it seems that faith is helping them on that journey. It's not a cure-all for everything, but it certainly helps them find
and why more pronounced for Gen Zs, do you imagine? Is it because maybe that kind of, that race or material things is even more pronounced? So there's that maybe a kind of, again, so that corresponding sense of hollowness maybe that you felt.
It's that search for authenticity, I think.
Okay.
I mean, I've been lucky enough to be working at two World Youth Days. So this is the largest gathering of young people in the world. The last one was in Lisbon. This is 2 million young people from every country in the world, every culture. And if you want to talk about miracles, I thought this was unbelievable. Afterwards, the Portuguese police in Lisbon said there was no instance, this is 2 million people who were like 18 to 23 probably, of antisocial behaviour. Can you imagine that in any other setting? And I was there, I was presenting on a music stage, looking around at all these young people, nobody kind of off their faces on drink or drugs, just genuinely happy, having a good time. And for me now, because Kira's talking as the Gen Zer, I'm now looking at this as a parent and I think, well, what do I want for my kids? Am I passing the faith on to them because I want them to think how I think? It's actually not that at all. It's just that I feel this has brought me a lot of happiness.
Yeah.
And I want it to do the same for my children. I hope it is the same for this kind of younger generation. It's given me so much in my own life, personally, everything.
Kira, amongst your peers, who kind of share similar views to you, what has been their journey into faith?
So I suppose growing up, a lot of the friends around me at the time necessarily didn't believe. But later on growing up, I connected a lot of actually pen pals from different parts in the world. One of my friends, I should give a shout out to Ella Ringrose. She actually works full time in spirituality. And she teaches about this. I have loads of friends that are yoga teachers, instructors. And for a lot of us, it's just a lifestyle. I think the world is so much consumed by social media and there's so much with technology these days. Sometimes you just want to break away from that and to connect back in with your body and how you're actually feeling. So a lot of the times we're always discussing these things about, like, I'm from the country, so coming up to Dublin today, it's so busy and it's there's traffic and there's everyone's in their own world and they're on our devices. And we're in a world of comparison as well. I think the youth more than ever today, there's so much comparison between the material world and this person has that and this person has this and maybe I should be doing this and what's my career now? And there's all these big pressures, as you said earlier, on us. So I think to be able to have the freedom that spirituality brings, I suppose my parents' generation, they grew up in times where they watched their parents, you know, come out of the church and maybe there was difficulties that they went through and different traumas from that. So I think our parents, in my parents anyway, definitely had this maybe a sense of rebelling from the church. But for me, I think, you know, connecting with spirituality and my friends as well, we necessarily don't have parents that are bringing us to Mass or telling us to pray or putting that pressure on us.
But, you know, there'll be people listening and they might suggest, listen, you can have a sense of perspective without spirituality or religion. So, I mean, maybe let me put it this way. What if you didn't have it? How would it impact you? That's a hard question maybe to imagine. But
you know what? I think this concept of what spirituality is, like if you look in nature, nature for me is the most spiritual place ever. There's no judgment in nature. And I think that to refer back to your question, you know, spirituality is whatever it wants to be to anybody. You know, we're all people. We're all going through different experiences. We can all relate through that. Everyone can find that peace, that place of stillness and peace within. Maybe that's through their creativity. Music is a big part of my life and a big source for healing for me. So I think it can be whatever it wants to be for you. I think it's very individual. I think that maybe that's the difference between religion versus this modern way of mindfulness and just checking in with maybe how you're feeling about the world and how you're feeling about yourself and your place within it. So I think it's really an individual process for everybody, more so than the past where it had this rule book and you follow these set of rules. I think there's a time now where we're coming into a place where everyone just wants the freedom to express themselves fully and that acceptance. And maybe that's why they're taking up these different tools and practices and looking towards all different types of belief systems, because really no belief system, we'll never know which is the perfect, the right one, but there's something to learn from everybody around us.
Wendy, will you afford your children the same freedom?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I suppose, as a parent, like with anything in your life, you think, I'm just going to lead by example, hope that I can teach my children well. I mean, I hope that it can bring them happiness. Mm. I do think that it's kind of rebellious now to be a Christian. It's really countercultural. You know, you are in a minority and it's countercultural in that the world and consumerism and everything, it's based on rampant individualism. Christianity is about the complete opposite. It's about being selfless.
How would you feel, though, if they kind of begin to worship at the altar of Gordon Gekko instead of
my elder brother always jokes about this. He's one of my kids' godfather and he's not into his faith, but he's totally respectful of it. And he's always joking about taking them to, I don't know, Guns N' Roses rehash concerts and things like that. And I'm like, that if that's the journey they're going to go on, like that's the big difference, I think, for my generation and younger is you're proposing faith, you're not imposing it. So you're saying, look, this is what's brought me happiness, peace, resilience. I hope it can do the same for you. And also, it's actually, it really challenges your parent because there's nothing like the questions of a 6 or 7 year old when they start asking you life's big questions to go, do I actually know the answer to this? It's actually, having kids has kind of deepened my faith more because I'm trying my best to kind of give them the answers. But probably one of the most important parts so far for them is really we've great authentic kind of friendships and pals in our life who genuinely just want the best for us and our family. Like we did a 10-week marriage preparation course with another couple who gave up their time voluntarily. And their only goal was, if we can help your marriage and family do well, we're happy to do that. That's the kind of thing that my faith has given me.
Okay.
You know? And I hope I can pass it on to my kids because I think it will bring them happiness. And that's all any parent wants.
Yeah. Well, listen, no happiness or religious serenity in the Dáil today. They got back up and running. We're going to be talking about that after the break. In the meantime, Wendy Grace, broadcaster and columnist. Wendy, thank you very much, as always, for joining us. And Ciara Lawless, singer-songwriter. Ciara, thank you as well for
thank
coming
so
into
the
studio.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciarán Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.